G'day, snappers, and welcome back to the Sunday Snap. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of Hungry Fur More, and Tubes is away this week. He's recovering from a big weekend of golf. So stepping in to help me talk about all the big news coming out of the second week of the preseason is one of the best strategic minds in all of NRL Supercoach. He's a former third place overall finisher. He's the coach of the Casa Bonitas, Danny Boy. How are you, mate?
Very well, Jono. Glad to be on the snap. Debut snapper this week. And for us, it's three preseason podcasts off the back of no podcast together last year. So, yeah, this very is, excited.
This is a big chemistry check, though. A two-man pod. Like this is where we see if we've got it as a duo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we will, you know. I'm a little bit more... you're a bit easier on the eye than the old Knicks boys. I know they do look a bit like myself, but no, looking forward to it. And I hear your brother is coming back on for his debut for the season. Cracker going to be here.
Yeah,
this week.
Baller contributor Cracker is going to be on our Tuesday show this week, which is nice. So yeah, very much keeping it in the family here on the Baller podcast. C-Mac's got to start getting his brothers in or something. His kids. He's got enough kids. He can suck at them on as contributors. But look, we mentioned Tubes can't be here this week. Obviously, yeah, very, very busy off the back of golf. But if you're part of the Tubes crew, he will be on our Tuesday pod this week as well. So never fear. But Danny Boy, we've got to start with a little dig at Tubes. You two were on our last pod on Tuesday, the premiums deep dive that we did. And I started off not sure which of you finished first last year when I was doing my intros. You took offense to that initially. But then Tubes also retook offense to the fact that you said he was so bad. And he said that he 100% beat you 2 years ago and he was going to post evidence in the Discord. Now, I'm in the Discord a bit over at baller.live/Discord. Please join us. I didn't see any messages come through there from Tubes. Do you have an update for us, mate?
Yeah, I think any long-term listener knows not to, you know, take... Tubes as guarantees too seriously. So
he's 100%.
Yeah, I think 2020, I had a look back, 2024 was it 2 years back. I came 800th. And yeah, I'd like to see Tubes put a screenshot of whenever he's been close to the top 1,000. So no, look, you know, he did have a good year, I think 3 years back. He went on a hot run back end of season and he did pip me. So well done.
Well done, Tubes. So we'll yeah, wait for those screenshots. But if you do want to get in there into the Discord, please come and join us. It continues to grow with every single day. New people are joining, getting in there, asking lots of questions, chatting Supercoach. It's been a lot of fun over the NRL trials as well. So if you do want to do it, it is ballers only, the Discord, and you have to join up through the Baller website. It's free to do so, quick to do so. baller.live/discord. That's B-A-L-L-R. And while you're joining us in the Discord, please give us a follow on all the appropriate social channels. Search for Baller NRL on X, Facebook and Instagram, and search for Baller Supercoach on YouTube and TikTok. And Danny Boy, people are really engaging with us this year on the YouTube. Lots of comments, lots of likes, the views are getting up there, and we massively appreciate it. A couple of people disagreeing with us, but very respectfully so, which we like. Agree, disagree, it's all good.
Not too many trolls out there. I'm just looking at the Discord now, actually. This is obviously being over in London. It's a little bit tricky to get up at the 5 a.m., particularly for preseason trials, you know, with these with these teams. So I haven't been necessarily waking up. I've been watching a lot of highlights, reading through stats. But the Discord's great because it's just giving me people to look at as well. So, you know, just mentioning some of these young up-and-comers, which you can then go have a look at the stats for. NRL Fantasy Pro, I think, has got some unbelievable stats for the Reggies and the reserves. So if you see some of these young guys coming through, they're mentioned on the Discord, go have a look at them. It's kind of how I found Ryan Couch for last year is a bit of that. So no, look, yeah, Discord's great, loving it so far.
Yeah, no, please jump in. And it's not a hive mind, there's lots of different opinions. It's great fun. Everyone's really respectful, great bunch of guys and girls. Danny Boy, let's jump into the actual round review. And look, we're mainly trying to focus on those Supercoach relevant players. So for some games, there's lots. For some games, there's hardly any. But yeah, if you're a fan of a particular team, this is not an NRL deep dive in the trials, just a Supercoach relevant players. And we're going to start off with the Finns versus the Titans at KO Stadium. And there was a couple of really relevant ones. Starting off was Selwyn Cobbo. Danny boy, I'm not sure if you got a chance over there in London to have a look at Selwyn Cobbo looking fit.
I heard his chest was on point. And his
chest was huge. Bench.
Yeah. Oh. I think he's got that barrelish body type for quite a slender man sort of thing. Mm. So I think he's dropped a bit of weight off the gut and it's just got that chest popping. So I didn't see much of his game. How did he look out there?
He looked fit. Like all these reports of him being the fittest he's ever looked, I think are true. Like it's training the house down. It's the off season. They all are. But he did look at, like you said, big chest, fit, strong. He didn't get through a ton of work, if I'm honest. He wasn't taking heaps of tough carries. But every run he took was very, very impressive. Like he was just like tackle bust through the roof. He had really soft hands for a line assist as well over on that left edge. I mean, the only thing I was watching, he looked so good playing center. I started to think like, geez, is there any chance like they drop Jake Averillo and play Herbie at center? Because they got that young fella, Nafahu, I believe he is, who exploded kind of on the wing at the back end of last year. And it's just got me thinking about, are they a better team with Averillo center, Cobbo on the wing, or are they a better team with Cobbo on the center?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of brief highlights and Averillo is an absolute jet. Like he's one of the fastest men in the NRL, I think. So he's had a couple of years now to really settle in there. So I think he will be starting center. And we know that Cobbo is kind of a world-class center as well at his peak. As you said, sometimes his attitude, maybe his interest, maybe his work rate lets him down a little bit. But if he is named on the left edge outside Herbie round one, he'll probably go up to 30-35% owned, I think.
Can I throw a little spanner in the works outside of what we just said? I'm not sure, Danny boy, if you've even seen this as you woke up this morning, but reports that the Hammer's going to play in the centres has come out. I believe the journalist who said it, let me find his name because I do have it on the run sheet, but he was saying that the chatter is now that Fuller might be playing fullback and Hammer might be being pushed into the centres. His name was Ben Dobbin. I believe he's a Triple M journo up in Queensland. And that was what he was saying during the All-Stars coverage today, which that's really interesting because if Fuller does get that fullback spot, number one, he becomes heaps relevant. But also, does Herbie become a right centre? Because Hammer traditionally likes to play on the left. Like, it just has massive implications.
Yeah, I'd have to think back to Origin and where Hammer usually plays. I'm not exactly sure. But, yeah, no, I think Herbie probably holds his spot. How do you take, you know, the most prolific attacking centre out of his left edge after what was such an excellent year last year? I think he stays. That throws a big spanner. But I do like that for the Dolphins. I think Trey Fuller is an absolute gun. Like, Hammer being in the centres, like, he's still going to be very effective. So very interested to see that makeup.
We'll probably know with the trial teams for week three because they'll probably name a pretty strong squad and start to have a look at what their best lineup is because they did name a fairly weak team for this one. The other big one out of it, other than Cobbo, was Flegler. Great to see him make his first game in nearly 2 years after the huge injury issues he's had. I mean, Danny Boy, you might be able to speak to the kind of problems he was going through. But he came on to start the second half, sat off for 40 minutes, came on, immediately made the first two tackles in the first set, had an offload off his first hit up, and then he scored a really nice crash try. Only played 20 minutes, but I was really impressed.
Yeah, I think they released his scores in 60 points in 20 minutes or so, which is unbelievable. So it is such a big injury, a nerve injury, and there can be long-term repercussions with weakness through that affected side. So, look, he looked good. 20 minutes is a short stint. I think at his best, you know, if he's fully recovered from that, he's definitely starting at some stage. I just am a little bit wary if it's going to be at the first come round one. But, geez, I mean, the logjam now, Jono, we were talking about a little bit before, at these front row forwards, either cheapy, mid-range, it's going to be tough to fit them all in.
It is because he's at 346K, which I think is just a little bit awkwardly priced with how good the Finns forward pack is as well. I just can't see where he's going to come on. I think you want him getting 45 to 50 minutes for it to be worth bringing him in, and I just don't know if he can. And then you've got someone like a Taniela Paseka at a similar price in a really weak Manly pack. Like, obviously, Paseka's not the player that Flegler is, but his role is probably just going to be better for Supercoach.
Yeah. And you've got, I mean, I traditionally you like enough up there just to free up a bit of cash, looping options.
The great Miles Martin.
Dueling options. Yeah. Shout out to Big Miles. And then you've got Jesse Colquhoun, who kind of switches through there as well.
Of course.
You've got Trey Mooney, who we'll probably talk about a bit later, going up a little bit to that mid range. It's going to be a real conundrum, I think, for super coaches out there.
I'll tell you what won't be a conundrum if he gets the starting job is Bai, who started lock for the Titans. He played about 40 minutes, went for 30 minutes in his first stint. He does look raw, Danny Boy. He was breathing really hard, but he looks a player. There's definitely something there. Their middle rotation is maybe a little bit stronger than what I expected it was going to be, only because Mo Fotuaika looked really fit. He got through a mountain of work. And Cleese Haas has moved from the edge to the middle this year, and his footwork and his speed through the middle was actually quite good, and he looked really strong. So I'm interested to see what the minutes are for Bai, but if he starts, Danny Boy, there's no way you can start without Bai on your team at 236K.
No, very exciting, very exciting. I think you'll have to be one of those three or two cheap second row forwards that you've got on the bench there. No doubt if he's starting, he's a straight lock-in. Cleese Haas, you know, some of these forwards as well that come in early in their career when they're young, they just haven't developed that full big boy, big man strength. So you give some of these guys, I think their peak is probably around 25, 26. Shout out to the NRL physio. He was talking about some of these big boppers through the middle who peak at those sort of season three, season four. So, yeah, could have a couple there. What's his name? Is it Kurt Morin as well?
Looks like
a solid worker in the middle. He's got that good footwork. I know Titans were using Chris Randall a lot through the middle and the edges last year, but it looks like Kurt Morin will kind of take over that role this year.
Yeah, no, it's stronger than I thought. I still think if he starts, there's absolutely no way you can fade him. I'll tell you who I am thinking about fading, though, Danny Boy, is Fa'e Mani, who is this kind of came out of nowhere to emerge as a front runner for the Titans' wing spot. He's thick, he's strong, but he looked absolutely gassed after about 5 minutes of footy and a couple of runs. He had an unforced error when they were attacking the line. Look, he had a couple of poor defensive misreads. He had one really good shot where he charged in and absolutely hammered a bloke, but he had a couple recharged in and missed as well. It's hard to knock him as an option if he's a starting player at 201K for the Titans in round one, but I'm not convinced after that trial game that he's going to get the spot, and I'm not convinced that if he does get it, he's going to hold it. Oh, I didn't love what I saw. Look, I know it's one game of footy. He played for 40 minutes. I don't know, Danny Boy, am I overreacting to a trial?
I think so, a little bit. I think if he's yeah, you are. Let's just say it as it is. If he's starting winger at basement price, how can you not take him as one of your seven center wings? Like you've got to lock him in. You can't, you know, actually it takes me back to last year. I was thinking like you about a man called Garamat Shibasaki and didn't think he would hold his spot down in that Broncos backline. So I didn't pick him up to start the year, and we all know how that turned out. So, look, well. I think any cheapies, bottom price cheapies starters that are going to be there round one, I would be locking into my side.
Okay. Yeah, look, we'll see. I think if other cheapies emerge, like Tom Chester, we'll get to the Cowboys, but Tommy Chester might have a spot back now. Matt Cassini was unbelievable in his game as well. So it just depends how many cheapies you want to run with. There's also obviously Setu Tu, who we'll talk about. But, yeah, we'll see. I'm thinking about being a bit of a fade Amani instead of fade Amani. I might not get him to start the year, Dan. All right, let's get on to the next game with the Raiders versus Storm. And, look, there's not a lot of Supercoach relevance for the Raiders. I will note that Miles Martin wore number 21, so couldn't even start or be on the bench in the weak Raiders team out there at Seaford Oval. But I've got to start with the Raiders, Dan. This is a semi-regular part of our group chat. It's hot off the Clippers. I need like a little snip, snip, snip sound effect to get in there. But hot off the Clippers. You notice the hair's looking trim, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Went for a fade on Thursday.
Do you get the beard done as well at the same time?
No, I do the beard myself, but I'll take that as a compliment if you think it looks well-maintained. Look, I have a barber who he's cutting hair down in Canberra. And barbers, they like to talk. He's cutting the hair of some people. And every now and then he gives me some mail. And sometimes the mail is very good. Like last year, he was very early on Tamale. He was very early on Owen Paddy. Sometimes the mail's not so good. He told me a couple of years ago that James Schiller was in front of a couple of big names at the Raiders and was going to hold a spot, and that didn't quite happen. But his mail for me, Dan, is that Owen Paddy this year is not going to be in the Raiders' best 17, is what he's led to believe, that they're going to get Jaden Brayley as their hooker on the bench. And the thinking was that Paddy, they want to get back in New South Wales Cup and actually get some big minute games into, because they think it might hurt his development. Because last year was obviously only, he was playing first grade, but only 10, 20 minutes a game. So the mail he's hearing, snip, snip, is that they're looking at trying to get him some big minute games against men down there in New South Wales Cup, and that Jaden Brayley might fill that 14 role. What are your thoughts? Not really Supercoach relevant, but it's interesting. Yeah, look,
that makes a lot of sense. I could see a world where Ricky changes that hooker rotation up than what he has been doing. So obviously he used to do Tom Starling for at least 65 minutes, 60, 65. And then Owen Paddy would be that attacking flair to come in. I probably see a world where Jaden Brayley comes on earlier and is just a tackle machine. So he actually spells Tom Starling. And then Tom Starling, we know how attacking he can be, comes back on a bit freshened up to play that Owen Paddy role at the back end of the game. So that's probably how I say Ricky doing it. I know that didn't come from the Clipper man, but it's just a little bit of insight. That makes complete sense for Owen Paddy. He's so young. He's obviously a big talent. Getting him some game time and some development, that makes complete sense.
But look, it is completely big grain of salt, big strand of hair on that one. Let's not run with that as actual mail. But that is what he led me to believe.
You're right. What else are they buying Brayley for? Like, apart from maybe just being a backup and they got him relatively cheap, I think he's probably on his last few years of NRL, so they're probably going to make use out of him for that sort of as he is. Like he's obviously been plagued by injuries. He's was looking very good, like his brother at the Sharks. But I think he's just going to be that workhorse to spell Tom Starling.
Well, let's get into the actual game now. And look, nothing to talk about from the Raiders' perspective, but for the Storm, they had a couple of boys who are quite relevant. Lasardi is one. He's currently in 47% of Supercoach teams. His score on the old system was a 47, but NRL actually gave him about 14 more tackles than what the old system did, so that would be significantly bigger using the NRL stats. He started on the left edge, which is usually the Sean Blore side, not the right, where we expect him to start replacing Eli Katoa. After 20 minutes, it actually swapped. He was swapped with big Cooper Clark, who was a mountain of a man, New South Wales under-19s rep. And look, Lasardi played big minutes. I think he played about 60-odd. He defended very well, made 41 tackles. He didn't look to impact the game too much with his running. They didn't look to use him. He was a bit more of just a worker. But, geez, at that price, 269K, we'll take that, Dan.
Yeah, you take it every day. He'll be in most people's sides. I don't think it's too bad for him actually lining up on the left. I think it's Bellamy trying to work this out, because you talk about him replacing Katoa. Now, not many people can replace an Eli Katoa in attacking, in an attacking sense. But if you're telling me who wants to be outside Jerome Hughes and who's more attacking threat near the line, I think it might be Sean Blore. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lasardi actually ends up on the left and Sean Blore goes onto the right.
Again, I don't mind
lots
that call.
Lots of speculating in this preseason, but
it's the preseason. What else are we going to do?
Yeah. So I don't see that as a bad thing for him. I think the 60 minutes is kind of Bellamy saying, show us what you can do, show us, get that work rate up. And it's obviously reflected in the 41 tackles. So, he was in everyone's side anyway, but, I think he's just lock and load.
Big Cooper Clark was impressive. You would have loved him, Danny Boy. He's got Ryan Couchman, except bigger, written all over him. He's massive. And the only person who made more tackles in the game than Lasardi was Cooper Clark, made 45, and just a mountain of a man. The other one, Dan, and we haven't spoken about this at all, but I just have a feeling you're going to have a strong opinion on this. Jack Hetherington, who is currently in 16.4% of Supercoach teams, he had a first 20-minute stint, worked hard, gave away a standard Jack Hetherington penalty, came back on for a second stint, 26 tackles across the game. What do you feel about his 16.4% of ownership?
Jack can get in the bin. I haven't even looked at him this year.
I'm shocked about that ownership. Are you not shocked at that?
He averaged 20 last year. Average minutes of 22. That seems to be the role, if he's going to make first grade, that he's going to get. Like, where does he get minutes? When has Jack Hetherington ever got minutes in actual NRL? When has he not been put in the bin, made an error, given a penalty away? You know, Melbourne might change a bit of that discipline, but I don't think the minutes are going to change at all. So
no, that's it. Like, even if he gets a spot, surely it's like 30 minutes, and then there's no point bringing him into that price.
Here's that classic guy that everybody should be fearful of, which is the middle front rower that's named in number 16, number 17, number 18, number 19 this year. You just do not want to touch them.
Yeah, and Chivs has alluded to in previous pods about with this new six-man bench rule, this kind of forward off the bench is at risk of just not getting any minutes at all, because if there's an injury to an outside back or a half or a hooker and they have to bring in someone off the extended, that 25 to 30-minute prop is the first one who drops out of the team. So there's just no way. That ownership should be 0%.
Was that you at the back end of your career, Jono? Like, were you 5'8 growing up at young 12 and then ended up as a middle forward coming on for a little stint?
So I stopped playing.
Did you ever play for the UC Cows? I know Tubes was
no, I never played for the UC Cows. I was long retired by the time that came around. But Tubes was the hooker for the second div team and used to get in a lot of defensive work. Tubes, the kind of hooker who the new Supercoach rules would really suit. A lot of third man in tackles, a lot of get near the line and just dish it to a forward to crash over. So he'd be a very, very juicy ownership, Tubes. Let's get on to the next game, the Cowboys versus the Panthers, which was basically a first grade team against a reserve grade team. The Panthers had no one playing of note and the Cowboys had nearly a full strength side. I don't want to overreact, but geez, the Cowboys were impressive in this game. Like, if you're a Cowboys fan, you have to remind yourself it's trials, you're playing reserve graders. But as far as all those things go, they did everything they needed to do. Danny Boy, this Cowboys team, who's really jumping out to you at the moment?
The big one, I think, is probably Purdue. I think he's probably the one to look at. This 5'8 conundrum that everyone seems to have now in Supercoach, start of every year, he could definitely fill that. If he is named at centre, he will be a very popular purchase, particularly if Dylan Brown is not named as the dual 5'8. I think he's a great replacement just to slide straight in. I saw his Supercoach score of 67. He got a try. He's always around the ball. I think even in some of the highlights I watched, he was close to getting a couple more tries. So, yeah, he's a very good talent, and I wouldn't be surprised. I know I was in the Discord. Everyone was frothing over Drinkwater as well, but a few people mentioned, like, he's not playing that sort of side every week. He is obviously just a step up and a class above, and he can just wreak havoc in those sort of games. I think it's still to be decided what happens at the Cowboys this year. They obviously are always an attacking side, but are they going to be a very good side? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they might not be good, but we don't need them to be good for Supercoach. We just need them to be good in attack, basically. And I do think they look like they're going to be a team who could score a lot of points on their day. Purdue, for me, Danny Boy, watching him in the first trial, playing at 5'8 versus watching him in this trial, it was like he was a completely different player. He looks so much more comfortable and free playing at centre, and I'll be shocked if they don't go with it that way. Like, they went with it that way for a reason for this trial, and with how it all panned out, I think they will again. He's on the left. Traditionally, the Cowboys have been quite strong in the right. Drinky does like to play down that right, but he was definitely stacking both sides. And there was another time when Purdue got the ball and just did like a dance across field and just broke the line with just raw speed and footwork. And I just think he's an absolute free player. I think he's going to be an absolute gun. And I do think he's set to explode this year. I am putting him down as like a lock-in for my team.
Sure. I think there's also the you could go ultra pod with those wingers as well. Murray Taulagi has been known to go on massive hot streaks in Supercoach. Could start the year with a bang. Cowboys have a great draw. I will just slightly mention Braden Burns as well. He did score a try. He looked very good. I saw him palm off a couple of people in the highlights, which was very nice. So they're looking good. But geez, Jono, you've got to mention your man, Helam Lukey. He looks fit. He's coming. I mean, how can we say he's come of age when he's only played a handful of first grade games before getting injured? But he will be the very interesting one. I don't know if I'm willing to take a punt on a 400K second rower who I'm going to have to start. But what are your thoughts on him for starting the season?
Yeah, there's been a lot of chat about these mid-range second rowers, and we'll talk about a couple of them coming up. But he's the one for me that I think is the safest of the lot. Like, he looks unbelievable. He took a few, like, his carries, he's doing a few tough carries coming out. They look great. He had limited attack opportunities on the line, but then they, as soon as they gave him one, he just scored. Like, they gave him a one-on-one with an opposition man. He ran over the top and scored. He did the same thing last week. Again, I know they're reserve grade players. You don't need to tell us that. We're aware. But you're just looking for guys who are going about their footy the right way. I like that they're giving him scoring opportunities. In their back row, you got Jonny Bateman, who was a laid out for the trial with an injury. Obviously, Jeremiah Nanai is gone for the first 8 weeks or so, I believe. So their back row options are kind of him and Sam McIntyre. Lukey's got to be the 80-minute man. They're going to have an 80-minute back row, and I can't see it being McIntyre. So I think Lukey is tremendously undervalued and would be a great pickup. I'm not sure if I'm going to get him, Dan, because the price is a little bit awkward. I prefer Trey Mooney at a similar price, for example, just because of his role and his workhorse ways. But if I'm looking for someone around that price range, it's definitely Lukey.
Yeah, I think you're right in that. It's hard though. I think how I'll look at Supercoach this year, I'll start with those premiums, 600K plus guys who I know are guaranteed to get the bump up with the stats this year.
Yeah.
And any of them failing, you get a good look at Lukey for the first couple of rounds. So even if you do miss out on the points, if he gets a couple of plays there, you will still bank cash by downgrading to Lukey to free up for somewhere else. So, yeah, he'll be a big watch for me come round one, round two.
The next bloke I want to talk about from the Cowboys is certainly not one of yours, Dan. Reid Marnie, you're a long-term. Is Hayter too strong, Dan?
No, I think Tubes is more of a Marnie hater. I didn't mind seeing Reid Marnie get beaten up by Jack Hetherington in the tunnel a couple of years back. So that's probably the best thing Jack Hetherington's done in his NRL career. I know C-Mac, you know, hates him with a passion. He's got a thing against Bulldogs players anyway. But, I didn't see the game. I'd assume he made a lot of tackles, did all right against that side they were playing.
Looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly what you said, Dan. A lot of tackles. He got two try assists as well, which was like one of them in particular might not have been given based on the old Supercoach rules, where now it's just the hooker throws the ball. If a guy crashes over, they'll get the assist for that, whereas under the old rules, they had to have deemed influence on the try. So I think that's probably not a bad thing for him with a couple of their bullocking forwards they got. But look, if you look at 418K, I think he could do a lot worse. He's going to be an 80-minute hooker. I think he's going to make a fair bit of cash in Supercoach this year.
Yeah, potentially. It's hard to work out strategy-wise what to do with Reid. It's very difficult to play as hooker number one when you've got the likes of Blake Brayley and Harry Grant at relatively discounted prices. And then hooker two, you're then looking at possibly spending $1 million in hooker, which really doesn't look good for team balance from my point of view. So do you start him as your hooker number one? I think that would be a decent pod play, again, to take on the likes of Brayley and Grant and then free up 200K to go elsewhere hard. So, yeah, look, I wouldn't disagree, but I probably wouldn't play him as that hooker two that people are looking at.
Yeah, I think that's too much money in hooker. I reckon you're right. The last one, Zach Labert, he's suspended for 2 to 3 weeks. He's going to miss Vegas. The big thing that is relevant for is it means that Chester is now reported. I saw the great Tommy Sangster putting out a tweet from the Supercoach account today saying that Chester is back. He's going to get the spot for the Cowboys. It's just a case of is it a trap or not? Because if Labert's suspended for 2 to 3 weeks, I think it's two if he takes the early plea. Does Chester lose that spot or does he have a chance to really make it his own if he's playing well? Like I would argue that he's probably got a chance to make it his own. Labert's not like a locked-in gun.
He's not, but he's got two games. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that is different to the Fao Maoni. I don't know. I'm taking over Tubes in the pronunciations.
But, I think you nailed it.
Fao Maoni. Different because he's probably going to get a spot due to injury or suspension for two matches. So there is risk in that. Will he come in to contention? He's probably next man up for a few of those backline spots potentially, or definitely the two center spots. So you could still get him. He's bottom price. I would be a little bit wary. And if other cheapies are arising, I'd probably look to go to them first.
All right, let's get on to the next game, the Warriors versus the Seagulls. And Dan, one that I know you and I like, we had a little bit of a chat about this man off air on the recording of the Tuesday pod. It's Ali Lauttaua, the right center there for the Warriors. He was a popular mid-ranger coming in last year, and then he had an ankle injury. He kind of was out for a while, came back through cup, got hurt again, tried to come back at the end of the year, and they basically just decided to sit him and make sure that ankle was all good. He had two tries. They weren't impressive tries. They were literally just balls that dropped into his hands from Seagulls. This same big, tall rabbit winger for the Seagulls just dropped it into his hands twice. I don't know. I don't think I can start with him 452K, Danny Boy. I think he's a bit of a glue hand center. He's not going to get a lot of those last little assists. But at 0.8% ownership, which is what he's currently at, it seems really low for a talented player.
Yeah, I think there's just too much risk. As you said, he got injured a lot last year, and then through injury, he was coming back through New South Wales Cup. I think if they had such high wraps on him, they wouldn't have put him through New South Wales Cup. I think they would have just put him straight into the side. They were obviously looking at different options as well. I don't know what the Warriors' makeup's going to be, so there's just too much unknown for me. Last year, I think a lot of people took a flyer on him because he just looks so good. He's got the great body frame for a center. He's big, he's strong, and he's still very young. So I wouldn't be surprised if he nails down that center spot and he starts to go well, but I'd really want to see it first.
Yeah, I think so. I'd want to see him have two good weeks and then maybe change up one of my guys who are failing, who are a little bit more expensive. I reckon that's the right play, Dan. The other one, Leka Halasima, who we are massive fans of at Baller. Tubes and I both owned him last year when he got an 80-minute role for a stretch. He actually played left center for the whole first half in that trial, which was interesting. He got back row minutes in the second half. I just wonder what the purpose is of them playing him at left center. Like, is there a chance they're looking at him for that spot? Otherwise, why would you play him there for a whole half of footy?
Yeah, look, Jono, for me, I think it's just Webster having a look at some of the combinations. I think he's such a damaging edge player. I would suspect he's going to be either edge or be that man on the bench who kind of fills in for a lot of spots. So maybe he's looking – I think he's probably looking at playing him off the bench still and just seeing where he can fill in and fill the space.
Yeah, I think if there's any word that he's going to be an 80-minute player, I'd love to get him. I just think their pack, they've got so many good young forwards, like Jacob Laban, who was incredible in the All-Stars game today. Obviously, Dimitri Vaumanga, they've got Marita Niokore, Kurt Capewell. Like, their forward pack is just so strong that at 502K, I don't think we can have the safety that he's going to play 80 minutes. So as much as I like him as a footy player, and I think he'll be a Supercoach gun one day, it's not going to be for me this year. One that kind of happened just coming into the weekend, he was named to start lock, was Caleb Nivali, who is now gone for the year with the ACL. I bring him up only to say, Danny Boy, for people looking at Taniela Paseka as like that kind of cheapish prop, that can only be good for him. Their middles are so stretched as it is. I think that's just going to mean someone less experienced, potentially a rookie, comes in, and that can only be a good thing for those who are owning Taniela Paseka.
Yeah, Paseka looks a guaranteed minutes man as well. Like, I think last year before injury, he was probably looking at 50, 55 minutes in that pack anyway. Yep. And now with the plethora of middle injuries at Manly, I think he's really got to take charge and he's going to be there. And at that low 300K mark, you can't really go wrong. So he's just another one to add to that list of potential forward middleman you're looking to bring into your side. And I've got him there. He hasn't left my side in preseason, so I'd be locking him down.
Yeah, I think one guy who also might become a little bit popular is this absolute monster. He's ginormous, Laffey, who was the starting prop for the Seagulls on the weekend. 19 years old. I think with Nivali going down and the way he played, he is a big bench chance. He gassed very quickly. It's not because he was unfit. It was because he was getting through so much work and at a great pace as well. So he ran for 167 metres in the game, was in everything. I'm going to call it now. I think he cracks a bench spot. I think that's going to make people interested in him because he's 201K. He hasn't played first grade before. But just everything that we said about Jack Hetherington, that kind of – actually, that's a bit harsh to to compare this young freak to Jack Hetherington. But in terms of the role and being a forward off the bench, Dan, does the same warnings apply?
Yeah, John, I don't think people are joining into the snap to talk about these front row forward middles potentially getting 20 minutes off the bench. I think if you can just, I know you've done a great analysis here, and I'm loving it. But if we can just leave out these middle boys that are getting small minutes, who are the most irrelevant players in Supercoach this year, that would be nice. Thanks.
Tell that to the 17% of people who own Jack Hetherington. If he's so irrelevant. Tigers versus Roosters. There are a few first graders getting around for the Roosters, none of them overly Supercoach relevant. But one who is Supercoach relevant is this boom outside back for the Tigers. Big Macassini, big and strong in his carries. Dan, I think you got to watch a little bit of this one and see some of his running game. What was your reads on Macassini?
Look, I saw one moment. I did watch the rest of it and was very impressed. But that first try he scored down the left edge. The one at centre, he looked like a young Stephen Crichton, but possibly bigger and stronger than a young Stephen Crichton. 18 years old. He is absolutely electric. If one person changed, I opened the Supercoach app and just put him straight into my side. I hadn't previously, but I think he needs a spot. He is going to be in the Tigers team. If it's not round two, it will be at some stage, and I think it'll be very hard for him to leave that side.
There's just no way. Like, it was talked about being a bit of a like battle between him and Skelton for that spot. Like, Skelton's going to have to come out and do something absolutely unreal in the second trial to take that spot now with Macassini. Mm. He moved to the wing in the second half. I actually thought he looked more comfortable on the wing. Center, he just had a few defensive misreads. Obviously, he's young. He's still learning. He's 18 years old. But when he was on the wing and his job was just get the ball and run, he scored two nice tries. He was put on report for a big hit where he came in off his wing and just smashed someone who kind of got low. Super impressive. He's in 30% of teams. I reckon that's going to be higher after this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just trying to think who are going to be the starting centres at the Tigers. Obviously, you've got Taylor May. And then who's on the other side?
I'm having a complete mental blank. I don't know. Yeah. I know that it's obviously Taruva on one wing will come in, but the other centre.
Stafatoa, I think. So
got that quick, Dan. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. He is actually quite super cash friendly, Stafatoa. I think his price is probably reflective of that now anyway. But he does have a few errors, defensive errors in him as well. So, look, I think he'll be first cab off the rank with an injury wherever it is if he doesn't pick up that wing spot to start the season.
Yeah, it's like what people did with Kale Itto a couple of years ago where they just like they knew that he was the next man up for the Sharks if any backline player went down. So just stashed him, and you can definitely do the same thing with Macassini. Now, we talked about how good the Cowboys were and trying not to overreact in a positive way. Goes to the complete opposite when you get to the Knights versus the Dogs, because the Knights, who have plenty of Supercoach friendly and interesting players, were absolutely abysmal. First of all, Fletcher Sharp, they sat out as a precaution with hamstring tightness. He is going to play in Vegas. Is that concerning at all, Dan?
Yep, very. I mean, you know, it's hard because you don't know, but I really don't like a fresh hamstring strain. Like, it's actually taken Val Holmes out of my side because I know he had one in January. Unlike who was it, Herbie, who had a hamstring injury late last year, there's been a lot of time to freshen that up. Really recent hamstring strains or hamstring tightness, often hamstring tightness is a precursor to getting a bigger hamstring strain. So that does concern me a lot. Not that he was like really super coach relevant at the moment, Sharp, playing at 5'8 and being over 700K. But maybe for that makeup of that night side as well, you might not know how they're going to start with the combinations.
Yeah, I think watching that game, Dylan Brown played on the right, which, I mean, I was speaking during our the snap last week and then again during our premium pod that he's traditionally a left edge player. Maybe that was just because Mitch Moses was a right-hand side dominant player at Paris. He was forced into left. Maybe he can play both sides. Although with that big left foot stepper, I would have thought the left suited him more. But he shifted once early, and like the commenters are like, oh, wow, he's going to be shifting, coming across, looks so dangerous. Just never happened again. Like did it once in the first 5 minutes, did not do it again for the rest of the game. And he looked, a little bit just – he looked like he was trying to be the main guy on the team around, and it didn't look great. I mean, to be fair, their forward pack was heavily beaten. Sandon Smith had a really quiet game. I don't know, for me, Danny Boy, it's hard to see Sandon Smith starting after that game.
Yeah, look, I think AOB was texting Tubes and just telling him how – you know, stop giving him guff over this attack into the Knights, because it wasn't just me. There's obviously something going wrong with the Knights attack there. I still think Dylan Brown is very, very relevant for Supercoach. You know, he's guaranteed in that side, whether it's on the left or the right. They do have a decent-ish draw coming up, and we know he is ultimately an international superstar player. So I'm still comfortable bringing him in at 500 plus K.
Would you be comfortable running him as halfback one if he doesn't get dual? Like we were talking on our pod on Tuesday, Dan, about premium halfbacks, and like Cleary and Hines in particular is going to see a bit of a drop-off with the new Supercoach scoring system this year. Jaden Campbell, a very small one, not as much as those guys. Would there be any temptation of you running with Dylan Brown as your halfback one if he doesn't get dual, and then doing Purdue as your 5'8" one?
Yeah, look, I definitely wouldn't play him as my halfback one, particularly if I've got Sanders on the bench there. I think you need to take a premium, and you could take him as your second half. I don't mind that, actually. I don't think he's losing value this year. I think, if anything, he's gaining value. So I could still see him and take a flyer on one of the ultra premiums like a Cleary or a Hines. I would be a little bit worried if Knights were really bad to start the season, and then your other option is Sanders. That concerns me greatly.
All right, Dylan Lucas, I just want to quickly mention he was fine on the weekend, got through a mountain of work like he always does, but a bit of an error on the premium pod. We were saying that his adjusted average with the new scoring system goes up 6 points per game. That was a little maybe a carrying of a one in the wrong spot. He goes up 0.8 points per game, so just to clarify that from our pod earlier in the week. The last night I want to talk about is Jermaine McEwen, came off the bench behind Thomas Cant. Look, it actually wasn't McEwen's best game. I was hoping he'd come off that bench and really rip and tear and fight for a starting spot. He still might get that. But I don't know, even if he starts, I think I'm worried about him getting 80 minutes. He's out of my team. He's been in there a bit this year as a mid-range forward. He's gone, and he won't be coming back in, even if they just start over there in Vegas.
Yeah, I think you're right. I haven't had him in my side for a while. Thomas can play bit of footy, and he does play a bit of that edge as well. We've seen he can go big minutes in games as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Thomas Cant plays through the middle and then subs McEwen off for a bit of a breather as well. So he's another one of those middle range second row forwards that is just a wait and see.
For the Doggies, a little bit of an injury scare. Matty Burton went off with a hammy injury. The trainer said it didn't feel too bad, but they are going to be sending for scans. So keep an eye out for how those results come through. The Supercoach relevant players, Haywood has been getting a lot of chatter as a low kind of end price-wise hooker. He's 344K. He got through a decent amount of defense. He just literally never looked to run. He was dish out only. He ran for 0 meters in the game. So he's not going to be a dynamic hooker. But at that price, if he can, you know, snag, he'd have to get 70 minutes, wouldn't he, if he's just going to be like a tackle bot. So I think I'm a lot less interested in him after seeing. I thought maybe over the offseason, having trained there now, Danny Boy, maybe he'd look to run a bit more, but it doesn't seem the case.
Yeah, I don't think that's the Bulldogs' play anyway to run it through hooker. I think he is just going to be a tackling machine, and I don't think he's got the build to be a tackling machine for those 70, 80 minutes. I'm going to steer clear to start with. I really want to see what's happening at the Bulldogs anyway through that with Jake Turpin possibly on the bench. And as I said on previous pods, I'm not sure if Haywood will end up as their starting hooker back end of season. So just a wait and see for me.
What about a man who you likened before to Macassini was Stephen Crichton, who looked incredible. He played on the left. So all last year he was a right centre. Bronson, is it Jerry or Cherry? How do you say it, Danny Boy?
Jerry.
Jerry? Bronson Jerry played on the right-hand side. I really like that for Critter. Him and Kickout immediately had a good combination. With the new assist rules this year, he's goal kicking. He was goal kicking before Burton went off, so he looks like he's going to be the goal kicker. Left center on a really good edge with Kickout. New assist rules. He's 600K. He has flirted with Supercoach relevance before, Danny Boy, but could this be the year where potentially it just all comes together?
Yeah, I think it sets up perfectly for him with the new rules, and then coinciding with some goal kicking as well. He's obviously the leader at the Bulldogs. So, yeah, if you're going to take, you know, a bit of a pod play at centre wing, he is 600K, but I think he doesn't play round two with Bulldogs on the bye as well. But, yeah, I could very comfortably start him. I think he's a gun. I rate him as an NRL player, as a Supercoach player. I've never been super keen, but a couple of stars aligning this year, I think, you could slot him in. Him and Taylan May are the two ones to look at for start of season. Both have a bye in the first two rounds, both over 600K, but very much are going to benefit from these new rules.
What about going on to the next game? And you mentioned him earlier, Valentine Holmes, and you said with this hammy scare, you've just taken him out of your side, so he's still in mine, and I do trust your judgment because you are a physio. That injury allegedly happened in January. There was a bit of concern there that they posted the footage like this week, so people thought it was a fresh injury. The Dragons, pretty funny, like that social media's put out a post and then the Dragons have to come out and clarify that it was an issue from January. He was rested from the Charity Shield due to precautionary reasons and that he's going to be right to go for round one. You're not buying that?
He might be right to go for sure, but it's just the fact that he's had a very recent hamstring injury. That's the concern. So we see it a lot, people coming back from a hamstring and game one, game two, they're gone again. So he's at a price point where, yes, he is a bit of value with the new system. He's not in an excellent side. I would still like to see how Dragons do in the first couple of rounds. I'll tell you who did look fresh was Clint Gutherson. We know he's a fit man. He always wins the fitness test preseason. Shaved beard, fresh faced, looked to be involved. Maybe, you know, everyone was jumping on Gutho after three or four rounds last year. Could he be a little smoky to start the season?
No. There's not a chance I'm starting with Gutho, please. I hate that. You know, your thing on Val, you gave me an answer I didn't want to hear. And you know how, like, when you ask mum and she says no, so you go and ask dad and hope that dad says yes? In this example, your mum, you've told me no on Val. I'm going to listen to Magic Sponge and see if NRL Physio is more positive on Val. See if mum says yes, because because I really want to start with Val in my team. The other Dragons outside back who looked fantastic was this Setu too, who does look like he's the preferred candidate over David Farley, over Tyrell Sloan, which is great because he's the cheapest one. He's 201K. He had the second most metres of any player on the field, 143. He's a dynamic runner, 7 tackle busts. He had a nice line assist. I actually think, Dan, he's playable for round one if you need to, with the kind of Supercoach-friendly game he looks to have.
Yeah, is he this year's Tamale? I know last year I was tossing and turning whether to play Tamale first round, and he ended up banging out a 70-point score. I was very happy. If you're going only three mid to premiums in the centre wing, you could certainly put him as your fourth. If not, if you do have four even, you could maybe put him as one of the bench spots as well. So, yeah, I think he's got to be in everyone's side if he's named to start on the wing round one, and definitely look to play him for that last 16, 17, 18 man for you.
Atkinson had his first run at halfback for the Dragons. He looked pretty good. He's one of these kind of like a Luke Metcalf-style halfback. When a guy in the team makes a break, he's the first man through supporting. So I could see him getting a few tries or, like, you know, attacking stats through that way. He looked okay, kicked well. I just think that there's no chance I'm starting with dual cheapy halves, which I know is a tactic that people have spoken about in our Discord, Dan, speaking about, you know, running Sanders and Atkinson together while they're waiting for these premium guys to drop in value. It's not for me. I don't think I could feel confident playing one of those guys each week. And I'd rather get the cheapie who is a goal kicker who plays for a team who came first in the regular season last year. So for me, Atkinson's not going to be in my team, but he's in 30% of sides at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think people were kind of grasping. Atkinson may be in competition with Kyle Flanagan for a spot in that Dragon side.
He's getting a spot. He's in.
What I mean by that is Kyle Flanagan is not getting dropped, right? Like, it's the Bart Simpson, Homer Simpson, here's the ball, son, take it, be my quarterback.
Who's Nelson in this analogy? Couchy and Rouchy.
But like in King Tonga, he showed some glimpses of a great player last year. If things aren't going well at the Dragons, we know that Atkinson can play that bench spot as well. I know they've got Jacob Little there as well. You know, they're a bit flush for sort of 14s, hookers.
He's hurt, though, so they won't have one for the start of the year.
Okay. Yeah, so I could see a world maybe where, you know, if things aren't going right, Atkinson goes back to that 14 role. So that's enough with that makeup to turn me off starting the season with him.
That's a great reference. I'm still reeling from how good that Homer Simpson, Bart Simpson reference was. Well done. We got to get onto your boys, Dan, the Couchman brothers, Toby and Ryan, a.k.a. Touchy and Rouchy. I'm going to throw in Luciano Leilua and Hamish Stewart all in this one conversation, Dan. Watching that game, they are all really good players. Luciano Leilua, the Luch, he looks fit. He ran for over 100 metres. He was doing a lot of early grunt work. He's lost 15 kilos. He looked fantastic. Hamish Stewart came on early after Harm Selle failed a HAI. He looked awesome. Touchy was getting through a bunch of work. Rouchy came on, king of the third man in. He had 12 tackle difference in the two stats between NRL and Fox. Loves it. Like, that's great for this new scoring system. But they just can't all get minutes. I think I'm almost gone off the lot of them. I think Touchy's the one who I feel the most confident is going to be able to bang out a 55 to 60-minute role just because he did that last year and Flano really seems to trust him. But all these other guys, can you say with confidence that they're going to get the role that you need them to, Dan?
I can't really. I can't. I think Luciano is the most attacking of the lot of them, and he's going to be in for the most tries, but I just can't trust that he's going to sustain a big minute role and he's going to sustain his body to bring him into my side. I do love him as a player, but he's just gets let down, I think, with his fitness sometimes, and then does get injured and maybe doesn't have the, I don't know, interest, perhaps you'd say. The other guys are all just workers, and it's going to come down to who gets the minutes. I don't think Touchy's priced accordingly. He's the most expensive out of all of them, and, you know, he is going to get the work and he will be a solid guy. But I'd probably prefer to go up to the likes of Isaiah Yeo, Angus Crichton, who are guaranteed more minutes than that.
Yeah.
So he did play a lot of minutes last year with injury-affected games as well, you know, 70-plus minutes. And, yeah, look, he's just not at the price point for me to start the season. And then Hamish Stewart, I think, is a gun footballer. He will be very good in the next couple of years. But again, he's pushing for minutes off the bench. So, yeah, I think you're completely right. Just leave him be. Have a look how it pans out over the first few rounds.
Yeah, because there's even guys we didn't mention. Like, there's Jacob Halangahu, who's a really good young footballer. Pacifica Tonga. Like, they got Dylan Egan to come back. They are absolutely stacked. I had contributor Cracker texting me, really worked up and excited over Luciano, and I think he moved him into his team during the Charity Shield last night. And I was saying to him, I get it. Like, when Luch played 80-minute games in first grade, he had four seasons where he was named a first grader, never averaged less than 55, and 2 years in a row went 60-plus when he was with the Tigers once, with the Cowboys once. I'm just not convinced he's going to get 80 minutes. Jaden Sewer, since Flano's been there, Sewer's been an 80-minute man, and I don't think they're going to play two 80-minute edges when they've got so many good forwards. So I think that Luch is the one more likely to not do it. Look, if we're 2 weeks in at 420K and Luch is getting that role, looks good, we'll reassess then. But I can't start with him.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing 80. Like, I think he's guaranteed to get some time on the bench. He is an impact player as well, so he probably does need that freshen up in games. And when he played for the Tigers and the Cowboys, he was much more of an attacking go-to. Yeah. So you think about who Dragons have on his outside. Like, I'd be using Luch a bit more as that decoy and throwing out the back to Val Holmes, Gutho, the likes of that. So, yeah, I as you said, Jaden Sewer's 80-minute lockdown. I think Luch is getting a breather.
Yeah. All right, let's get on to the All-Stars game, which is by far the highest quality game of the round. Obviously, it's like played with a real intensity and passion. And that shows with the performances. Keanu Kinney, I think at that 495K price tag, there's a reason he's one of the most owned players in Supercoach. Didn't have many opportunities, but he just looked dangerous. He's bouncing off tackles. He's throwing offloads. Even your cat in the background there, Dan, seems to like what Keanu Kinney is getting up to.
Yeah, he's in my side. He hasn't left my side. I'm just leaving him there for now, and I'm very excited to watch him fully fit, fully recovered from his neck injury, and he's an excitement machine, so put him in your side.
Leo Thompson, who I've heard some people talk about as a relevant prop, I don't think he is. He was laid out with a calf complaint, so not great there. Trey Mooney looked fantastic. He's just an absolute workhorse. He tackles everything. He's taken plenty of hit-ups. He doesn't look tired when he does it. Like, he's getting through the work comfortably. He looks like he's set to be a 55-60-minute man at Newcastle. Only thing is, he was put on report for a swinging arm on Nico Hines, so we have to just wait and see. Don't want him out for round one when there is a bit of value around that mid-range price.
I'll tell you what, I kind of want him out for round one, actually.
Why? What's your thoughts?
Well, just with that makeup of the forwards that are available, front row forward in particular, if you go down 100K, you've got the likes of Paseka, Colquhoun, and possibly Tom Flegler. I kind of want them in my side. And then if Trey Mooney isn't getting a price rise for a few rounds, that kind of works in quite nicely. So I look, it's hard. I've been trying to get him in my side and still have team balance, and I find it's really quite difficult, and he is going to be so heavily owned. I have flirted about taking him on, but he just keeps proving with his stats that he's going to be hard to miss. 42 yeah. tackles in that game. If only he had a fast play the ball. This is the only thing letting him down.
I will say it was a bit quicker. Don't worry, I looked. It was under 4 seconds this week.
Very nice. So, look, and Knights don't have many options. It's not like if he has a couple of disappointing games, they've got many people to fill his boots. So, most people will have him, could get suspended. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
The other one just from there, Paxton, who people believe is going to be the starting edge on, I think, right edge back role for the Titans this year. He played well, tackled well, got through a lot of defensive work, didn't look to be an attacking powerhouse who's going to get a lot of those stats this year. And Britton Nikita looked in fantastic touch, set up a try with a kick. He actually forced a dropout with a nice long-range kick as well where the ball fell to him. I thought he looked good. He did get put on report for a hip drop though, so not good for you as a Sharky fan, Dan.
No. Awkward price, Nikita. Another wait and see, I think.
All right, last game was your Sharkies versus the Eels. The Sharks had close to reserve grade side, although your team is so deep, there was a lot of guys with first grade experience. The big watch was Pezzett, who I don't know how relevant he's going to be Supercoach-wise. There's no way I don't start with him because 5'8's a weak position. He's 236K. He looks like he's a ball-dominant halfback, and when you're playing in a team with Mitch Moses, I don't know where that leaves you. He doesn't look to be a strong runner of the ball. He kicked nicely, controlled the team around the paddock. How do you think that all plays with Moses, Danny Boy?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's hard to gauge because Pezzett's always been the number two at the Storm, hasn't he, in terms of coming in for Munster at times, had a big injury with his ACL. So I'm just not sure how that's going to play out. We know Mitchy Moses loves to dominate, but that is to say that maybe there is opportunities to be a bit more attacking, a bit more throw those short balls on the – he's going to be on the left, did you say? Mitchy on the right probably?
Yeah, Mitchy usually plays right.
Yeah, so look, he's definitely in your side. Like, he's going to be starting 5'8". The problem is, as you said, like, I don't think you can start with two cheap 5'8s. You definitely can't play him as your first. And they've got Melbourne – to start off the year. So is he in your 17? I'm not sure, but he's definitely at that 5'8 number two spot for me.
And Danny Boy, Jermaine Hopgood, I wanted to watch him. He was a laid out, no injury concerns, birth of a child. So shout out Jermaine Hopgood, and hopefully we get to see what his role looks like next week. Danny Boy, that pretty much brings us out to a close. Congratulations on your Sunday snap debut. How do you feel? You didn't really try and take over that hot takes role like Shoes. I appreciate that you were your own individual. Didn't try and step into an established role.
Does Tubes have hot takes, does he?
that's all he has. There's no cold takes from Tubes.
No. Look, I've enjoyed it. It's nice. You're easy to listen to, Jono.
Oh, thanks,
man. I'm trying to think of some compliments here so I can get a bit more airtime on the snap. We'll see. No, look, it's been good. Sorry to Tubes. We've been beating you up a bit, but he does have some very hot takes and a good different way to look at Supercoach. And you know, sometimes he's right, aka Garamat Shibasaki last year. I've never seen a more unbelievable prophecy of calling him a young GI to then go and play for the Kangaroos. He'll pick him sometimes.
I would like, for the record, before I get an angry text message from Tubes at about 7:30 tomorrow morning, I didn't mean the hot take things as an insult. It's great. I love the energy Tubes brings to the pod. So absolutely meant as a compliment, Tubes, when you listen to this. Danny boy, next show is going to be on Tuesday. It's going to be a mid-rangers deep dive. Lots to talk about there. Tubes is going to be with us for that. Cracker, baller contributor, is going to make his pod debut for the year. And just a reminder, as always, please jump onto socials, get in the Discord, get over to baller.live and check out their stats. And, yeah, please keep supporting the podcast. We really do appreciate it. Danny boy, I want to finish just with a question that came through in the podcast questions area. And it was from the coach of Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks, said he has a question for next week's snap. Has At Tubes lost his way with his U beauties to finish the pod? Just seems like he can't find a rhythm at all to start 2026. Dan, can you show us how that's done by bringing us home tonight?
Well, like, firstly, I couldn't disagree more. I loved his last year, beauty. I think he's just easing himself into the year in this preseason. So, no, he's done well, and he's got me covered. But you, beauty.